This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, let's get it, man. I got like 50 minutes left here. It is officially September 26th, Thursday night football coming up. Keith McPherson in the studio with my guy Alex Day. Shout out to Alex for pulling up, fresh from Yankee Stadium. I mean, we left in the ninth inning. Volpe was at the plate, and we're like, this game's over, and we're in the car. We hear Aaron Judge hit his homer, and then next thing you know, I get a flat tire on the Harlem River Drive. It's just smoke and burning rubber. And
it's been an eventful night.
Yeah, it has. I'm shot, man. I cannot wait to, actually take the train home. I can't drive home. Take the train home and walk home and then get up in the morning and have to figure that out, you know. So shout out to anybody listening that has a tow truck. Call the Fan in the next 50 minutes if you want to help me tow my car to wherever. I don't know, Volkswagen, open road auto. I was telling you in the car, I had a show one night where I was talking about getting a flat at Yankee Stadium and how I got sent on this wild adventure to Great Neck because I sat there waiting for a tow truck till like 1 a.m. and I had work the next day and I was like, I'm tired, man. I just got to go home. I took the Uber home. I wake up to all these missed calls and I come to find they come and tow my car to a Volkswagen dealer in Great Neck. I got to take an Uber out there. It was a mess. So I think I have another mess on my hands like that.
You need a caller to throw you a bone here.
Yeah, I need somebody with a tow truck.
I saw that
that's
tire.
Working.
Yeah, my guy Keith has an issue on his hands.
The tire. My wife texts me and I'm like, don't panic. I sent her the picture of the tire. She's like, are you all right? I'm like, luckily we were able to get off on the next exit. I was going to champ it out though. My first thought was, you know, fight or flight. I'm like, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to drive. We got to get to
Keith is like, it's only 5.5 miles. We can make it. I'm like, bro,
the car
smelled the tire.
The car started to dip.
There is no rubber.
The smell. And I had to close the moonroof and the windows. And yeah, I left my car in the middle of Manhattan. That's okay. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad Alex was able to join my show, give you guys a little different sound. You almost never hear me with a co-host. So good to hear, Alex and his viewpoints as a Yankees fan, as a Giants fan, as a Rangers fan, and a Knicks fan. So, you know, when I saw this guy walking around the Javits Center during Fanatics Fest, and I saw the pandemonium for Jalen Brunson, it was like right before this, you know, he's walking around, he's creating content, he's got a sign that says, what's your take? Let's play the video that has gotten, I don't know, almost 90,000 views and hundreds of comments and a bunch of people roasting me. I'm getting cooked online for this take that I had with Alex Day on TikTok, on Instagram. Go for it.
The Knicks will never reach the Eastern Conference Finals with Jalen Brunson and this crew. I'm sorry about it.
100% disagree.
It's not March Madness. We're not recreating the Villanova Wildcats run. It's all hype. They had this whole parade for him to become the captain. That's all cool and all, but none of that's cool unless you win. When you look at the East, Giannis is coming back. Tatum's going to be pissed off.
So you think the correct way to build a team is through a super team?
Why are you trying to say that? Because
no, I'm just wondering if that's no, how you think is the best way to build a
from
team.
From my experience, that's the incorrect way.
Oh, twice. Right.
Twice.
So building a team of guys who get along and play good team basketball together and all buying into the same thing, not a bunch of spare parts thrown together. You know, that's not the way.
I don't
for
know.
Sure.
We gotta check on for that. There's
sure.
Be, there's got to be.
Interesting. Mm. Well, that video has 99,559 views on it, so that's going to hit 100,000.
People weren't really happy with you in that comment section.
Yeah,
huh?
There's over 26 days of watch time, 3,000 likes, 874 comments.
You're also wearing these Harlem Globetrotter shorts.
Yo, people so let's talk like about the shorts. I said we got to unpack this because the internet is funny, man. People helicopter in off a video. You were not there. You have no idea. Well, first off, it's Fanatics Fest where they told everybody dress up as your favorite player or dress up wearing your favorite team.
I was wearing a Yankees jersey.
And me being a Yankee fan, I was like, I'm not going to talk about the Yankees. I was wearing a Drazen Petrovic throwback Nets jersey that I honestly got from a guy in Jersey City off the street. He was selling stuff. I got it off him for $40.
Oh, it's a nice piece. Nice piece.
I have on a backwards Yankee cap, but it's royal blue. And I'm wearing my Apollo Creed shorts with my red, white, and blue Ken Griffey sneakers. It's Fanatics Fest. I'm a fan of all these things. Ken Griffey, baseball, Apollo Creed, Rocky, boxing.
To the nines.
I got the Petrovic Nets jersey on. I got the Yankee hat on.
I don't like the outfit hate because I think the outfit made a lot more sense than everything that came out of your mouth.
Everybody's just like, this guy's a clown. His takes are worse than his fit. I just was surprised that nobody was commenting on the muscles. I had the arms out. I'm like, man, I don't even get any compliments on the biceps, triceps,
putting in work.
Shoulders. But yeah, that was... It's funny because that was posted September 20th, so it was a month after Fanatics Fest. Fanatics Fest was like August 17th, and
I prioritized the Brunson interview before yours. That's
no,
my bad.
Perfectly fine.
Hand up.
I completely forgot about it, but that's the power of the internet. That's the power of Instagram, TikTok. You know, you can create a moment like that, and then all these people can weigh in on it. And it's funny. I actually was flattered. I'm like, wow, there's so many people in my mentions adding me that don't follow me that I've never seen before. I'm like, this many people are aware of me. This many people think I'm a clown and my takes suck.
Well, I posted it on TikTok. I sent you the video and I said, oh, we should post this on Instagram. And you said, man, I'm about to get roasted for it. And it turns out you were right. You're right. And Keith, what's funny is that we're both diehard Yankee fans. We're massive Yankee fans. But I'm a Knicks fan. You're a Nets fan. I'm a Giants fan. You're a Cowboys fan. So I hear you talking about the Nets and I'm a Knicks fan.
The Nets aren't going to be good.
And there's no rivalry. I'm wondering, that means you're also that delusional of a Yankees fan. And I agree with you.
No, I agree with you always on the Yankees.
So I'm like,
you cannot apply being a Nets fan to being a Yankees fan. Being a Nets fan is closer to being a Mets fan.
Of course.
A Jets fan. I just happened to be from the Garden State and picked up the New Jersey Nets, boycotted them when they went to Brooklyn. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying here, the Knicks now, as you were talking about super teams, right? The super team that the Nets tried to make with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Brooke Lopez and Darren Williams and Jason, nah, wasn't happening. The super team that they did have with the big three of James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, we know what happened with that. Set them back.
What happened with that?
You know, the toe thing that they talk
about.
Oh,
that's right. I just wanted to
hear it from
you.
I was at game seven. Yeah, I had great seats. Shout out to the Nets for hooking it up. You know, KD's toe was on the line. We were this close. I mean, if you talk about that, like, Giannis never wins and the Nets win and this whole thing is different. But anyway, you know, that's sports. What I was saying, and if we had a longer time, and we have some time right now before we get back to the calls at 888-808-1019, it was a Subway Series when I left the Subway Series in Queens, got here and parked, and I saw the alert that the Nets traded Mikal Bridges to the Knicks. And when I saw the return, the joy that I felt as a Nets fan that felt like we have no picks, we have no future, we have Mikal Bridges here, he's not that guy. Man, I did not think, they turned down offers at the trade deadline. I did not think that the Knicks were going to do that. What I will say to you is I was riding with these Knicks, underdog story, this whole playoff run. I was the guy on the fan every night, you know, talking to the fans during the game, after the game, talking about DiVincenzo, Hart, Brunson, how these guys were not lottery picks. These guys were underdogs. These guys aren't even supposed to be starters. And look what they're doing without Randall. OG gets hurt. Mitchell Robinson gets hurt. But now it's changed. Now that you have Bridges, now that you were the two seed and now the Knicks are a perennial playoff contender, like they've gone to back-to-back playoffs, and I think three out of the last 4 years they've been there, now the pressure's on. Now as a Knicks fan, you're stepping into territory that you haven't really been in. The expectation is for you to get to the finals. And like the expectations in New York are the biggest and highest and greatest, and that is tough to live up to. Now there is no more, oh, we got to the second round, Knicks in eight, chanting outside of Madison Square Garden. Like, they have to do it, and if you don't do it in the next 3-4 years, we'll see where those picks are, and we'll see how the tables turn when the Nets actually do this the right way with their own coach and their own players. Just give it time. This next half a decade into the 2030s, if the Knicks do not win with Brunson and his group, which my take, I took it even further. I don't think they're winning the championship. I think it's too hard to do. I don't think they're getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, which would mean that they're, you know, they end up being a top two team in the East. The Boston Celtics, I'm going to let you go. The Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, with what happened in the Olympics, they're pissed off. They have the same team. They're running it back. Giannis was hurt last year. People just want to act like that doesn't matter. But everybody wants to talk about how the Knicks were hurt. But Giannis was hurt. That doesn't matter. Embiid was also hurt when you beat him. Now look at the team they've put around Embiid. I think the Pacers are going to be good. The Cavs are going to be good. The Magic, the Heat. I think the Knicks are somewhere in the tier of the Cavs, Pacers, Magic, Heat, and I cannot wait to see it. Go for it, Alex. Your thoughts?
They are actually in the upper echelon of the East. They're not in that middle class, that middle tier of the East. I have them as a top three, top four seed in the East this year. I'm going to start with some of the things I agree with that you said. They are now the hunted. You know, teams will be gunning for them because they're a team that's had some success. They're adding. There's a lot of excitement. You know, you come to Madison Square Garden, that brings some added pressure. I also think this is really the first year that it is really, hey, we have a shot at this. I think for this Knicks season to be a success, it would be for them to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They have to win two series for it to be a success. It's not championship or bust yet. Okay, couple years, if they haven't done it yet, and this is your core, pressure's on. Sure, this year, it's Eastern Conference Finals. That is where the bar is. It's not championship or bust. But you know what? I think they still do have that underdog mentality. And this is a team that is built the way that I think, you know, you could laugh at how many picks the Knicks gave to the Nets. Sure. But you know what? You have to give to get.
Yep.
And if you were to ask me to write down the kind of player I would have wanted the Knicks to get, which now may have changed a little bit with Mitchell Robinson
needed him
being
for
out.
This past postseason run, this past 100%. Playoff. If you had Mikal Bridges on this last team, you're able to advance.
I mean, you look at the team they ran out in game 7 against the Pacers. Going into this year, you're now going to have Randall. You're now going to have a healthy OG. You're now going to have Mikal Bridges. You're going to have a lot of new pieces.
You're not going to have Isaiah Hartenstein.
You're not going to have Isaiah Hartenstein. And now, especially with Mitchell Robinson being out till around the new year, they have some serious front court questions that we have an issue. We have an issue in the front court because you're looking at playing small ball a lot of the time. Julius at the 5. Precious at the 5, sometimes OG at the 5.
When was the last time Tom Thibodeau coached in a conference final?
Bulls. Actually, never. I said Bulls and I realized, wait a minute. He had to go through LeBron's Heat.
He hasn't gotten a team there. I could keep going with this stuff. This is going to be fun when the Knicks start. I'm not hating on the Knicks, but I am.
The Eastern Conference Finals, that's the bar for them this year. There's only one basketball, right? That's what they told us
with the Brooklyn Nets, with Harden, with KD, Kyrie. There's only one basketball. How are these guys going to work together?
No, those guys need the basketball. On the Knicks, there's one guy that needs the basketball.
Julius Randle.
No. Keith.
I could do this all night.
Keith. Julius Randle.
I'm gonna need the first hour of your show.
Julius Randle, before he got hurt, was playing the exact kind of basketball he should have been playing the year prior. His efficiency went way up. He was still scoring the same amount of points as he was the year before. He was taking half as many threes. If he plays that kind of basketball, stays healthy, and the way they were spreading the floor once they traded for OG, that's
health,
the kind of basketball.
Health usually seems to be an issue with Tommy T's teams. One more thing for you. The last champion with a leading scorer that was 6'1", name that team. What team wins with that small of a leading scorer, star player? You need stars to win. What's where's the like name the last team? It wasn't AI. AI didn't get the ring. Like a 6'1 point guard that was doing all the scoring. Where was that championship won?
You know, Curry's 6'3. What's 2 inches?
888.
What's 2 inches?
808-1019. Let's
Come
get back
on,
to
what's
talking
two
about.
Inches?
Let's get back
Curry's
to talking
6'3.
About the team that we share,
Cut
the New York Yankees.
Here.
Let's go to the Santiago down in not New Orleans, out on Long Island.
Santino.
Yo, what's going on, guys? You got me?
We got you.
Good to see. Good to talk to you guys. Good to listen for this whole show. Alex and Keith, I mean, listen, the Yankees, I'm tired for multiple reasons. It's past 1 a.m. and just the stuff I keep watching on TV is ridiculous. I'm curious for you guys, though. Like you touched on both of these aspects, but what is your, for you, the bigger concern heading into the postseason? Is it the status of Nestor with the MRI that's coming up, or is it the plethora of errors that we watch the Yankees continue to make time and time and time again?
I am afraid of the Yankees. I fear them shooting themselves in the foot. I fear them beating themselves.
I'm actually more afraid of the bullpen because when I look at this bullpen, it's not a strikeout bullpen. This is a bullpen that
it's not.
And I love what Weaver's become in the ninth inning, where Weaver has become more of a strikeout artist.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Holmes, ground ball pitcher. Tommy Canley heavily relies on his changeup, pitches to contact quite a bit compared to, you know, someone like Luke Weaver. I was really looking forward to seeing Nestor in the bullpen this October. I think that loss...
That's what I was saying.
I think that loss is going to be way bigger. Look, you have to play clean baseball in October, and I think the Yankees go through stretches where sometimes their heads are in the clouds, sometimes they're playing crisp baseball. The bullpen,
yeah.
A lot's going to fall on the bullpen, and a lot's going to fall on the starters to go deep in games to minimize the bullpen, but the lack of strikeout artists that the Yankees have in their bullpen, it worries me a little bit more.
Jake Cousins on the IL as well.
Yep.
Nestor now, like it's not what you want this late in the season for guys to be hurt. This bullpen definitely has a lot of question marks because in the postseason, you know, you got to get big outs. You got to get out of jams. You got to have those electric moments where guys are striking out guys, and then you're on to the seventh, to the eighth, to the ninth.
Keith, let me ask you a question. One-run game, starting pitcher comes out in the sixth inning. Who's the first guy you're going to in the bullpen?
Clay Holmes, without a doubt. Thanks for the call, Santino.
Yeah.
But they might. I mean, they've been trying to find spots for Clay Holmes. First guy that I'm going to, I think they're trying to figure that out still.
That is my problem.
You saw Clayton Beter come out of the bullpen today. You saw Mesa 2 days ago. They love Tim Hill, Mark Leiter Jr. There's not too many guys. I don't know. I don't know the answer
to that would have been the Nestor spot. That would have been the Nestor spot.
Nestor, I mean.
To get you between your starter... The Weaver,
Nestor,
and then you figure it out. You mix and match.
The Nestor piggyback in Chicago when they played the Cubs and Nestor, I'm like, that's what we need. We don't have that until we get to potentially the ALCS. They said Nestor could return. That is a problem. Those are issues. But you know what? This is what happens when you have injuries. This is what happens when you trade for guys like, I don't know, Lou Trevino or Scott Efros that are hurt and never materialize. You don't develop your own guys like Ron Marinaccio. Jonathan Loaisiga is always hurt. You're banking on him. You trade away guys like a Michael King to get a Juan Soto, then you're left with these, like, you know, scrap heap, random clearance rack pickups to put together a bullpen. And you got to hope that you can score runs so that it's not that much of a problem. We'll see what this lineup's able to do. Now we're going to New Orleans. My guy Glenn is on the fan.
Hey there, Keith. Nice show with your boy, Alex.
Thank
Y'all
you.
Didn't have a spare tire?
I had to get here to do the show. I think we're about to be on air in 20 minutes. I think after this, I'm going to go over there and try and check that out. But I'm shot, man. I think I'm just going to take the train home and try and figure it out tomorrow morning. But yeah, I'm like, we got to take a Uber to get here. The radio was live. We had like half an hour, 40 minutes to spare. I didn't want to chance it.
Well, I can understand that. I think the Mets will be fine if they just concentrate on Milwaukee. And as far as the Yankees, the poor play at home versus the road would concern me. But even more so is the offense, and I'm not a Yankee fan, but the offense is looking just like it has the last couple of years when, you know, everything was waiting on Judge. Well, now it's waiting on Judge and Soto, and they come through, but they're still not winning because the rest of the characters aren't doing the job. And
they're not what they were.
Bad time for that to be happening.
Glenn.
Anyway, I'll keep listening.
Thanks for the call, Glenn. Austin Wells had a run of like a couple weeks where we're like, this guy's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Couple months.
Look at this guy. Yeah, I mean, July, August, kind of faded off here in September. Jazz comes up. He's hitting a homer. He's out-homering Judge and Soto. We're like, immediate impact. He's the biggest trade deadline acquisition in baseball. Look at this. I mean, those guys have not been doing it. Now, Glaber's getting it done. But like, as much as Glaber will get it done at the plate, he's going to also not get it done on the base paths or in the field. It's like, I don't know. What I'm hoping, and all we can do is hope, is that they get their chin checked here. And sometimes when you get humbled a little bit, it's like, wait, like we got to be better. Show up to the ballpark earlier today. Show up to the ballpark and do your drills. Do your extra work. Get in the cage. Lock in. Cole is on the mound. Go out there and show your fans that you're serious about this.
You know, Keith, we talked about it earlier in the show, just how rough their lineup depth has been this September. The Stanton, Wells, both hitting under 200 in September. If I'm the other team and I'm facing the Yankees in October, I'm being really careful with Soto and Judge. And of course, teams have been all year. Make someone else beat you.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're looking up and down the Yankees lineup, who's one guy you want having an AB with runners on that's not named Soto or Judge? I don't know. Stanton?
That's another reason why Dominguez has to be
has
in
to.
The lineup.
Has to.
It can't be Verdugo. You know, if Wells is struggling, it's crazy. I'm looking at the lineup. I'm like, Verdugo was batting cleanup at a point where he really started to come on earlier in the season. Now he's the nine hitter. It's not good enough. 888-808-1019. It's just unfortunate now that, like, you know, Severino had the comment, oh, you guys only have two good hitters. And there is a way to attack the Yankees and strategize around not letting Soto and Judge beat you, where it's going to be on the rest of these guys, and they can't let the home crowd get to them. They can't let the bright lights get to them. They got to figure it out. So hopefully they come through here and shake it off, but then you worry about the week off, and maybe there's some rust, and they come in. I don't know, man. This is, like I said, I am prepared to be devastated. I am.
What is your prediction?
I'm not confident at all. But I know this is the thing. And Bob, we're coming to you before we go to break. I can't predict it. No one can predict baseball. As much of a crapshoot as they call this thing, it is and it isn't. It's not a crapshoot for the Astros that get to the ALCS every year.
7 years in a row.
When I look at the American League, I say no one has more talent than the Yankees. No one has better players than the Yankees. The Yankees are going to be the number one seed. They should, in theory, get there, but they could stub their toe. And what scares me is maybe the Orioles are getting hot right now. What scares me is maybe the Yankees have a regression. We've watched the Yankees go through stretches this year where they were terrible. So that's what it is. I can't predict it. I know that they could also get hot. Like, baseball is that random where they could get hot and actually, like, tear it up for the month of October where we're all elated. It can be amazing. The stadium could have beer and popcorn thrown all in the air and people high-fiving and hugging, and we could be walking into that. But at the same time, we could be walking into everybody sitting in that stadium like, wow, like we knew that this could happen. We've seen this year.
I remember watching the 09 team. That felt like a World Series team. 2017, that felt like a World Series team. Of course, you know, we all know what with the Astros. 2019, that felt like a World Series team.
Yeah.
This doesn't really feel like that, but you look, hey, who has more talent than the Yankees in the American League? Who has a better record than the Yankees in the American League? So I think the American League is weaker this year than it has been in years past, and we're a little bit jaded that we're used to what a World Series team looks like. Hey, that infield in 09, that was a World Series infield. 2017, the Magic, that really the first year of this window. This doesn't feel like that, but you look around and say, hey, we should beat these teams. There's no reason the Yankees should be worried about playing Detroit, Kansas City. Come on now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have these expectations of what it should look like, but the Yankees are still, in my opinion, the best team in the American League, and there really isn't an excuse if they don't get it done.
The record can be deceiving. The names in the lineup can be deceiving. When you go and watch the Yankees run into outs, when you go and watch the Yankees make boneheaded mistakes, when you go and watch the Yankees not do the fundamental things correctly, it worries you, and it's hard to be confident. And, hey, I tip my cap to you Yankee fans that are always super optimistic, glasses half full. These are the New York Yankees. They're going to get it done. I think there's more of us, though, that are like, what are you watching that we're not seeing? Like, what, I don't know, Judge hitting 57 home runs, they're going to walk him.
I kind of fall in the first bucket. I'm not going to lie. I am the optimistic Yankees fan. But then I watch a game like tonight, and you and I are sitting in the bleachers going, dog.
Like, nah, this is not the vibe, bro. This is like scary hours.
This game
panic.
Feels
like,
over, and Glaber hasn't even taken his first step back yet.
We were getting blown out at one point before Soto came through. 888-808-1019. Bob, David, Corey, we're coming to you next. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Alex Day. Filling in for nobody. I usually host by myself. Good to have a co-host. Appreciate you joining me on a night where I literally destroyed my back passenger side tire or driver side tire getting here. It's good to
we
have somebody help me out.
Keith.
Yeah, man, I knew it was going to be a special night. So let's finish up this special night right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Everybody get up. All right. I mean, if you're up right now, you've probably been up. This isn't a wake-up time. Keith McPherson on The Fan. This is my last 20 minutes here. Alex Day hanging out with me a bit. Alex, I mean, was it always a dream to be on WFAN? Did you think that one day when you were going to school and you were figuring it out in New York City and working for the Yankees and working for overtime, creating kind of, did you ever think that you'd get on The Fan?
Of course I thought I'd be on the... No, I look, it's everyone listens to The Fan,
yeah.
You know? I've listened to The Fan for 30 years. I'm a huge fan of The Fan. Yeah, it's a dream that I'll be on. Look, did I think I'd be on The Fan? Maybe. Hopeful. Dreaming. But here we are. I'm excited. I'm appreciative that you're having me on. 2 o'clock coming up, but you know what? Energy's still high.
Yeah,
tough
man.
Tough Yankees loss. We were there tonight. But you know what? Tonight's been great. Get to check something off my bucket list. Happy to be here with you.
Happy to have you. The timing of, you know, about a week ago, the post that went out and Fanatics Fest and Yankee Stadium and the Giants Thursday night football game. I'm like, this is a perfect time. And, you know, I've had Milton in here. Shout out to Milton from Brooklyn.
Shout out, Milton.
He calls in to every show. The cowbell man from the Bleacher Creatures. I had Jake Brown in here. Jake Brown Radio, who... He worked for New York Post Sports, and he produced a lot of podcasts for them, from a Jets podcast, a Mets podcast.
Rangers podcast.
Yeah, he's been around in the game. I had Eitan Levine in here, Eitan the goalie on TikTok. And, man, we had a great show with him talking about the Jewish Indoor Hockey League. And, you know, he even shared his story about beating cancer. And I got a call from... Sam in Monmouth County, shout out to Sam in Monmouth County, which was like one of the most powerful calls I ever took. It brought me to tears. He talked about losing his brother and going to see his brother as his brother was fighting with cancer. And he was talking about listening to my show and only being able to, you know, get in the car and ride along with me. And it was just, it was more powerful for me to hear that than anything. You know, the other time that I broke down on air was talking about losing my own brother. And just to hear someone say that, like, listening to my show was, you know, what got them through that time and those car rides up and back to Memorial Sloan Kettering from Monmouth County. He's also from where I'm from. Like, man, I didn't even know I was going to break down. And that one just caught me. So it's always a special night and a special show when I can bring someone in here. Even with Milton, I know Milton was in here crying because he had one of his friends, lifelong friends, that just called him and was so proud to hear him on WFAN. You know, this station is all of ours. The station is for every sports fan everywhere, not just New York.
Yeah.
I just took calls from different places. I took a call from New Orleans, and I'm about to take a call from L.A. And, you know, I understand the power of this microphone, and I'm extremely blessed that, you know, being myself through this microphone, a ton of people are aware of me now. And then, you know, even doing this for 3 years, I'm able to bring someone like yourself in here, you know, through these doors to share the opportunity. So thanks for rocking with me. And let's get through this last 15 minutes. I said we were going to go to Bob in L.A. It's your turn, B.O.B. You're on the fence.
Keith, sorry about your tire drag.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to take the train home. I'm going to crash for a few hours. I'm sure my son will have different plans for me around 6 a.m., and then I'll get back into the city via train. I'll try to put the spare tire on and drive to Volkswagen or whatever, but it's just like, you know, never easy. This is a New York story, right? It's just these things go on in the city.
Always something. That's the logo of the city. Always
yep.
something.
Yep.
Want to talk about the Yankees, because I feel like a lot happened tonight and a lot of things kind of sort of points that I realize that are what's going on with this team and going on for a long time. So I'm watching Judge around the bases and Michael Kay saying he's done something with extra base hits that no one's done since Lou Gehrig. I'm looking at this guy thinking, how lucky we are, you know. And then I feel bad for the guy, because for the last 3, 5, 20 years with Cashman and Steinbrenner, we go big, but we don't go all in, and we don't go smart. You know, for me, going all in is Nestor Cortez. I shouldn't care that he has an elbow. Blake Snell should be on my team, not Stroman. That's an extra $32 million. Don't sign Verdugo.
Or Corbin Burns, who you're about to see tomorrow or later today. Corbin Burns, who you know, the Orioles were able to trade for.
Exactly. Like, we go to a 9, and look, I'm a Yankee and a Dodger fan, is what it is. And the thing about the Dodgers, we don't win the big one, but you know what? We always go all in, and I'm grateful for that. And I just feel like for the last 5, 10 years, like, we're at 92, 93. Don't start fencing out. Don't get me Verdugo. Bring in the kid and make a smart move. Allocate that $16 million to Blake Snell or Corbin Burns. Bring up the kid as a rookie 2 weeks in, and he has a whole season to mature. He's not only not making errors in left field, he's smashing the ball, and we have a wonderkin rookie.
He got hurt. He came back from surgery, and then he also got hurt, so that wasn't on the table. But, I mean, they could have brought him up sooner than they did. They definitely could have brought him up sooner than they did, and he would have been better for it in left field.
Bob, if there was one guy that the Yankees didn't get that you wish they got in the last year or two, who would be one guy that you wish was on this team?
Corey Seager. Just kidding.
Look, the two that Keith said, look, we can hit. We didn't lose 2-1 tonight. We lost 9-7. The two guys Keith and I said, get me Blake Snell for $32 million a year. Eat it. Get me Corbin Burns. Trade some young guys.
I really wanted Luis Castillo in 2022. I met him in L.A. at the All-Star game. I really wanted him to be a Yankee.
Perfect example of making a half measure or a three-quarter. I forget who we got that year. But there was someone again,
Frankie like Montas.
Exactly, Frankie Montas, instead of Castillo, who, by the way, is a bully. And show, I love Aaron Judge like you wouldn't believe. He's not a bully. He's a nice guy. Show me the edge on our team.
Yeah.
Where's the edge?
Yeah, we need that. Great call, Bob. Thanks for the call, man. 888-808-1019. Tanner Scott. I wanted Tanner Scott this year.
Wait, why do you laugh at Corey Seager?
Because if I say I wanted Corey Seager, then that basically means that I'm like...
You want to the World Series MVP, like, yeah, of course.
I like Volpe. I'm from Jersey. I like that he's from Jersey. I like that he's homegrown.
Shout out Del Barton.
Like, I like that he grew up a Yankee fan. You know, his family bringing him to... I love this story. But he's certainly not producing at the level of a Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, who are the same class as him. Even a Corbin Carroll, C.J. Abrams, who they all played on the same Team USA team.
Is Volpe a top 15 shortstop?
In baseball, I guess he might be right on the cusp of like that.
I don't think so.
He might be right on the cusp. I don't think so either. But he might. But if we actually wrote it all out in baseball, in American League and National League, he's right there. But I say Corey Seager because... I mean, that left-handed bat, the power swing, the clutchness, won a World Series, then did it again, and like supposedly he grew up a Yankee fan. I'm just like, they didn't like, there's so many guys that they didn't even call. Bryce Harper, they didn't even consider. There's so many guys that they passed on because they hug prospects, and those prospects aren't here. Miguel Andujar, Clint Frazier.
I mean, how much time do you have when it comes to prospects? Harper is different because they basically chose Stanton over Harper. Seager, at the time, that's not a hindsight 2020 thing. That is at the time, this guy checks all the boxes. You need a shortstop. You need a lefty bat. You need a guy with experience
for
a young team.
They fell in love
with
IKF and Josh Donaldson. How'd that go? Joey Gallo's name is popping into my head again. Aaron Hicks. They just kept running Aaron Hicks out there telling us, yeah, Hicks is... No, you know. You know. Then there are a lot of fans like Bob, like myself, that are like, when are we going to just go all in and do better? This was supposed to be the year. This was supposed to be the, okay, you get Juan Soto via trade. Okay, the evil empire's back. But what else? Verdugo, Stroman. Okay, but then
actually,
at the trade deadline, there should have been
more.
That's
what I was about to get to. Because I was fine with those offseason moves. I really was. Part of me thought, yeah, they didn't do enough. I would have liked a little bit more. When the trade deadline came up, you knew you had these glaring weaknesses. You knew you had a problem in the bullpen, especially the back end of your bullpen. You get two relievers. One of them, Leiter's ERA with the Yankees is over 5. The other isn't on the team anymore. You knew you had a Clay Holmes problem. And I love the addition of Jazz. But if you're all in, you have to do more than that. You have to do more than get two middle relievers, neither of who are proven at all, and really only one is contributing, and he's barely contributing. That, to me, was the bigger issue, the trade deadline more than the offseason.
And here's where you come up short. And, you know, De Los Santos got DFA'd, terrible. Yep. Mark Leiter Jr. hasn't been good, but he's under control, so they're going to keep at it with him. Jazz, I mean, like, Jazz has a flair for the dramatic.
I'm in on Jazz.
I'm in on Jazz, too. I think there's going to be some moments coming up here where he's clutch, where he gets it done. I just need him to chill on all the World Series talk, bro. You can't do it. You're a Marlin. Like, you're coming here from Lone Depot Ballpark playing in front of 3,000 people. Now every night there's 40,000. You're in awe. Like, this is pretty cool. What I'll say here is,
you can keep talking like that, Jazz. I'm cool with it.
I don't know. Because, like, those things don't – when you do that and then you don't perform, those things don't wear well. What I'll say is, we were leaning on the Yankees have been healthy. The Yankees have been healthy. All these other teams are hurt. The Yankees have been healthy. And now just here in these last couple weeks, Jake Cousins, who's been a weapon, he's down. Nestor Cortez, who is rounding into form, yep, he's down. We still have some 4 games to play here. Who knows who else is going to have something go on where you're not as healthy as you thought. Back to the phone we go. David is in Brooklyn. David, you got it.
Hey, what's up? How are you? First of all, sorry about the tire. Second of all, I was at the game today as well, and I was like, I'm sure I saw you. I was talking to my buddy. I'm like, is that Keith? And he was like, I don't know.
Like 6'2", 200-pound black dude, long hair, locks are like down to my shoulders, hoodie on, Yankee bandana.
Shades.
Yeah,
always.
That was you. Like, I was there as well.
Jordan
3. I wrote down a couple of questions. I don't know if you're going to have time for all, but I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I literally, like, watched every game, and I went to, like, 40, 50 games this season. Like, really, I'm
awesome.
Wow. I'm really invested. Really, really invested.
I wish they played better at home for you, because, like, I tried to go to 40 games this year, and I stopped.
All my friends call me the curse. They all call me the curse.
No, you're not the curse. It's got nothing to do with you. You're a fan. You're supposed to go there, yell, scream, try and will them to victory. Yeah.
Keep taking your ABs, David. I like that.
Yeah. I was saying, well, tonight I was arguing with them, because I left the stadium at 8, and that's when at the bottom of the eighth inning.
I was going to say, 8 p.m. you left?
No, sorry. At the bottom of the eighth, and then I get in the car and I see Judge hit the 3-run bomb. I'm like, oh, damn, am I the curse?
No, we left too, bro. You're good.
Yeah, but I just have a few questions if you could help me. Like, if I have time to get to them, because I know you're running short. But two things. First of all, if Aaron Judge is a natural right fielder and Juan Soto is a natural left fielder and Jason Dominguez is a natural center fielder, like, well, what's going on here? I know the whole thing about the arm, and like Aaron Boone wanted, like, you know, Verdugo has a stronger arm and it's a bigger left field. But come on, you know, everyone's playing out of position. They're natural.
The Yankees love to play everyone out of position. Jazz Chisholm playing out of position. I mean, for a while they thought Gleyber Torres was a shortstop of the future. Well, what it is, yes, look at Juan Soto struggling tonight in right field. They can't put him in that ocean that is left field. But Jason Dominguez, they'll throw out there because he did have some reps in the minor league with the same dimensions, not the same field, not the same amount of fans and pressure. I don't know, man. He's a center fielder. He should be in center field. Judge also shouldn't be in center field. He should be in right field. But I don't know. Maybe that happens next year if Juan Soto goes to Queens.
There's a case to be made. This is kind of
crazy. Yeah, about there, that. About Juan Soto going to Queens.
Dominguez and Judge would be better off flipping. Crazy.
Yeah, I'm saying,
put in Judge in left field. Judge did play left
Judge
field.
Played I think some left field
at least twice this year.
Dominguez looked better in center field last year than left field this year.
It's too late though.
Yep.
It's too late to do that now.
One more question about Juan Soto going to Queens. I am very nervous that he's actually going to go to Queens because Steve Cohen has the money for that, and especially like if Juan Soto just looks. I observed this team very like thoroughly throughout this season, and Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are literally the only ones doing something. They're the only ones carrying this team, and that's why I'm really not hopeful for the postseason at all, even though I would like to see them win. But to me, it's already an L because anything could happen, but Judge has never had a good October. Juan Soto, when he was in the playoffs, he was great. But I'm saying there's literally, in my opinion, there's potential, but I don't see us going anywhere, and that's why I think that he might go to Queens is because – Steve, first of all, the team that they're building, and you just see how well
the money
they have been
it's
performing.
It's just about the money.
It's the money. Steve Cohen has the most money, and Juan Soto wants the most money.
So do you think he'll go?
Yes, if that's the highest bidder. He's already living in New York. The Mets have built a better team, and they look like they have a future, and David Stearns seems to be smart. Yes, he's going to go to the highest bidder, which could be David Stearns and Steve Cohen. Yo, David in Brooklyn, thanks for the call. I'll be at the stadium Friday, Saturday. If you see me, say what's up. Last call of the night goes to Steve in Valley Stream.
Hey, Keith. I wanted to ask you about the Mets scenario with the doubleheader being moved to Monday. Being that I was at Yankee Stadium myself tonight, and I found that on the phone about the news. I really didn't find out any more details of why they couldn't have played, let's say, at a neutral site. Being that, let's say, the Rays or the Marlins or the Angels or the Mariners were all on the road,
improper planning,
those two games.
And Major League Baseball dragging their feet and not wanting to do much. I have read stuff about and I've been down there to Truist Park. I was just down there at the end of August. Like, they didn't have the parking accommodations to play a doubleheader with the businesses and the residential spaces and the people that work and live there. The logistics of playing in a Lone Depot Park or in Tropicana Field, two domes that are down there in Florida. Major League Baseball didn't get ahead of this. They had about a week, 4 to 5 days. I think I was reading in my notes. David O'Brien said, MLB moves so slowly on matters that require fast decision action. The hurricane path was known for 4 to 5 days. The Mets and Braves were off on Monday.
That's right.
They could have started the series on Monday. They could have reduced it to one game to make up next Monday. They could have played it at another. What I said, and I was talking to people in Yankee Stadium, Major League Baseball did not care if this ultimately happened. They put their heads together and they said, whatever. They'll play the doubleheader on Monday. Better for us. We'll go up against the NFL, and this maybe draws more eyes, ears, and attention for our biggest month, which is the postseason that starts the next day, Tuesday, because you know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but let's say the Mets struggle and lose against the. I don't even want to put that energy out there, but either way, Monday could be I don't know. It could be cinema. It could be. It's hard to win two games in a doubleheader. Let's see what happens. I hope that Lindor comes back. I hope that the Mets handle business in Milwaukee where we don't even have to worry about these games don't have to be played. But Major League Baseball, I think they're chaos? We'll take the chaos.
And these teams knew, the league knew that these teams have to travel the next day to go face their opponent Tuesday.
They knew all of it. They saw it coming and said, nope, well, let's see if it actually rains. Let's see if it actually is a hurricane. Thanks for the call, Steve. Alex Day, go ahead. The music's playing. Say your last little bit before we're done.
Yankee fans, exhale. Exhale. You know what? Things will be all right. These past two games have sucked. No doubt about it. There's two ways to look at this, and right now, it is too late to think anything other than happy thoughts. Keith is gonna keep it real with you, and so am I. But we got to be thinking happy thoughts
C-Mac
right now.
C-Mac is coming up next. He's got you. Thanks for listening. Keith, we're out of here.
Keith can't listen Sports to all the Radio optimism. 101.9 FM.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.